Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Eşhedü en la ilahe illallah, eşhedü en la ilahe illallah. Eşhedü enne Muhammeden Resulullah, eşhedü enne Muhammeden Resulullah. Hayya alas salah, hayya alas salah, hayya alal falah, hayya alal falah. Kad kâmetis salah, kad kâmetis salah. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar, la ilahe illallah.
Please complete the salah straight in the rows and fill in all the gaps.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami'a Allahu liman hamidah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami'a Allahu liman hamidah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami'a Allahu liman hamidah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allah. Allahu Akbar. سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر الله Inshallah, after the remaining dua, Mufti Abu Bakr Sidat will be delivering his tafsir. Mufti Sahib started last week. We started from Surah Fatiha, and inshallah, we'll be continuing Surah Fatiha today, completing it, and inshallah, going on to the last 10 surahs. As we know, these surahs, we regularly recite them in our salah. It is important we understand the meaning, the translation, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what lessons that have to be learned from these surahs. So inshallah, all brothers are kindly requested to participate in the tafsir after the remaining dua. Jazakallah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله Brothers are kindly requested to come forward close to the member. Jazakallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى وعلى آله وصحبه نجوم الهدى قال التقى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon my Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Once again, reminding ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of my Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam upon us that today we are able to sit and discuss the blessed teachings of the noble Quran. In the previous lesson, we gave a brief introduction to the science of tafsir, and we analyzed the recitation of A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajeem and Bismillahi Rahmani Rahim. And we also mentioned a few fadail, a few virtues of Suratul Fatiha. This one thing I would like to sort of revisit from our last session regarding the where we take the ilm of tafsir from. There was a question that came, and so I thought I'd decide to go back and clarify. And what I really found amazing was the origin of the question. The reason why the question came along, it stemmed from a deep loyalty and love for the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajma'een. And the question was that you mentioned the tafsir can be taken from the Quran, from the hadith, and from the ulama, but what about the Sahaba? I was very happy with the question actually. And so the reason why this was not mentioned was because I was trying to make it concise. But if we explore these three categories and we open them up, then we'll find many other categories. Some of them I can mention now. And so we look at the second category of hadith. And if we explore this, we find that some ahadith, they are come from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. And if we look into the books of ahadith, we find that there are many athar of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in as well that are mentioned. For example, in Bukhari Sharif, you'll find many sayings of the Sahaba mentioned as well. And so we look at the position of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. There were the ones that accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam throughout his life. They were there as the Quranic verses were being revealed. They witnessed the context of each verse themselves. So from everybody besides Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most powerful position in the field of tafsir has to belong to the Sahaba. There's no debate in this. Because they were the ones that witnessed this with their own eyes. And they saw the events that unfolded during the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. So after the hadith, the strongest position in the field of tafsir is the Sahaba. And we find the greatest mufassireen from the Ummah belong to the group of Sahaba. For example, one of the prime examples of this is Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, and who is considered the greatest mufassir of the Ummah. And then if we want to also explore the third option, we find that the Tabi'een as well, they were the students of the Sahaba, and so they also have a very strong position in the field of tafsir after the Sahaba. And then if we look into the ulama, we have generally speaking the ulama, and then you have a specific group of ulama who were specialists, who were linguists, specialists in the Arabic language, and so they would use the Arabic, certain verses of the Quran that cannot be understood because there's no information that we can take from the ahadith or the saying of the Sahaba. So their understanding can be explored through the Arabic language itself. And so there are certain scholars who are experts in the Arabic language, and they use their expertise in this field to give us a further and wider explanation of certain verses. Moving on to some other fadail of Surah Al-Fatiha that we find in the books of Ahadith. In one hadith in Tirmizi Sharif, the Prophet ﷺ said that there is no surah, there is no chapter like Surah Al-Fatiha in the Torah, Zabur, Injil, and the Quran as well. And in another hadith of Bukhari Sharif, my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the greatest surah in the whole Quran is Surah Al-Fatiha. And in another hadith, my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that Surah Al-Fatiha fihi shifa'an min kulli da, that there is a cure for every single illness in Surah Al-Fatiha. And it is also called Surah Al-Shifa as well. That's why when a person is ill, we are going to see a person who is ill. This is also a sunnah to go and visit the sick. We should pray Surah Al-Fatiha and blow on them. It is a very, very powerful surah. We find in the hadith, my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that there is a cure for every illness. When we are ill ourselves, we should pray Surah Al-Fatiha. Actually, we should make it a habit of ours that after every salah or in various periods throughout the day, we pray Surah Al-Fatiha and we blow on ourselves. It is a means of shifa. My Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that it is a means of shifa. Before continuing on to Surah Al-Fatiha, I would like to mention one other thing. When we are reading the Quran, we find that at the beginning of every chapter, we'll find the name of the surah, and at the end of the name of the surah, you will find the words Makkiya or Madaniya. These words, Makkiya, Madaniya, are Arabic words, and generally speaking, they have a geographical reference. So for example, if a person is a Makki, so for example, his name is Abdul Rahman Makki, it means normally means that he is a person from Mecca, or he was a person who migrated to Mecca and he lives in Mecca now, or a person who passed away in Mecca. Likewise, you hear other names with Madani at the end, like there's a great scholar of the past, Mullah Hussein Ahmad Madani rahimahullah, because he moved to Medina and he spent lots of time there, and likewise. But however, when Makkiya and Madaniya are mentioned in the Holy Quran, they do not refer to geography. They actually refer to time, and they both have a reference to a specific time in the time of my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And so, Makkiya refers to the period of my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life that happened before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam reached Madinatul Munawwara. To the point that if a verse was revealed during the journey of Hijrah, it will be labeled as Makkiya. And as soon as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam reached Medina Munawwara, any verse that was revealed after this time was labeled as a Madani verse. Now it can even happen, and it has happened, that a verse was actually revealed in Mecca, but it's a Madani verse. Because my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after he reached Madinatul Munawwara, he visited Mecca at the time of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, at the time of Umratul Qadha, at the time of Hajjatul Wada. My Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was in Mecca, but it was in the Madani period. And so the verses that were revealed during this time in Mecca will also be referred as Madani, because they do not have a geographical reference. It's a reference to the period of my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life. Moving on to Surah Al-Fatiha, I would like to recite a hadith in front of you. It's a very, very beautiful hadith, which really tends to epitomize the intimate relationship between us, the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty. This particular hadith is actually from the Hadith al-Qudsi. Hadith al-Qudsi refers to, generally speaking, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we'll find in the Quran, and the kalam of my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam you'll find in the hadith. However, there is certain kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that did not come in the Quran, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam himself directly quotes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but these words are not in the Quran. So these ahadith are called hadith Qudsi. And this hadith is also hadith Qudsi. And the hadith is narrated by Imam Muslim rahimahullah on the authority of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an. He says that سَمِئْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ I heard my Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام saying قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ He says, I distributed salah between myself and my slave into two halves. وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَعَلَ He says, My slave will have whatever he asks for. فَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ He says that when the servant says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praises to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies, حَمِدَنِي عَبْدِي My slave has praised me. As we are reciting the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening to us and He's answering us at the same time. Such a beautiful thing. The Lord of the universe is listening to us and He is replying to us. So when we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hamidani Abdi, my slave has praised me. Wa idha qala ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And when the slave says, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, qala Allah ta'ala, أثنى علي عبدي. He says that when the slave says Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that my slave has extolled me, which is also another word, another description of praise as well. وَإِذَا قَالَ مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ And when the slave says مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ قَالَ مَجَّدَنِي عَبْدِي My slave has glorified me. وَإِذَا قَالَ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ And when the slave says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ That to you only do we worship and from you only do we ask for help. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is between me and my slave can have whatever he asks for. فَإِذَا قَالَ اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ قَالَ هَذَا لِعَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ He says that when the slave says, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ Allah, guide us to the right path, to the straight path. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم the path of those whom you have favored غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين not of those who have your anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is for my slave and for my slave is whatever he asks for such a beautiful hadith when we are reciting Surah Al-Fatiha we should understand and we should imagine this conversation between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and us It's not just us reciting, Allah is listening to us, Allah is answering us, Allah is talking to us. And it reminds me of a saying of one of the scholars who says that when you want to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, slightly off context, but it just comes to my mind, when you want to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make dua. And if you want Allah to speak to you, read the Quran. The Quran is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we should also make an effort to try and understand the meanings of the Quran. So when we are reciting the Quran, we understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us. Especially for the Huffaz, we have learned the entire Quran by heart. We recite it in Taraweeh. But the enjoyment a person can have when he understands the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unparalleled. You cannot even imagine. And not just for the Huffaz, but for everybody. We should try and pick up a reliable translation of the Quran. And we should learn the translation of the Quran and make an effort to try and understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Moving on, we'll finally start the actual analysis of Surah Al-Fatiha. We begin with Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We will split into two parts. Alhamdulillah and Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah means all praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this part of the verse, there are two things. Number one, there is the apparent meaning and translation. And number two, there is a secret within this. The apparent meaning of this is all praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this al at the beginning, alif lam, it indicates upon totality that all praise that has ever taken place from the beginning of time, that is taking place today and that will take place in the future until the end of time, belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Simply means, as it is, any time somebody praises anything, something or someone, a man looks at his house, such a beautiful house. See, the Quran says this praise does not belong to the house or the builder of the house. This praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A man looks at the moon, says such a beautiful moon, this praise does not belong to the moon, this praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, a person, you know, he compliments the food. He is not complimenting the cook. This praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one that gave the ability to that person to cook the food in such a beautiful way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one who gave the ability to the builder to build a masjid, to build a house. And the person, he looks at his wife and he compliments her beauty. Allah was the one who gave his wife the beauty. Allah was the creator. Generally speaking, when we give somebody praise, we are not actually praising the item. We are praising the person who made the item come into existence. For example, we say to somebody, that who made this food? It was so nice. So who are we actually complimenting? The person, the cook, will get happy that he's complimenting me, because he is the one that created or he made the food. So when we praise somebody's looks, such a beautiful person or such a beautiful child, we are actually praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of all things. At the same time, there's a lesson to learn in this that has just come to mind to me as well. That just like we admire somebody's beauty, we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we mock somebody for the way they look or the way they speak, then we are mocking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have sometimes a bad habit to, when we get angry with somebody, we mock the way they look or the way they speak or the way they talk. We are not mocking them. We are mocking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say to a person, oh, your color is like this. Don't want to say anything. Your color is like this. Oh, you look ugly. Ya Allah. We are mocking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we say to somebody, who built this house? It's such an ugly house. You are mocking the builder of the house. So when we have to be very, very careful when we are speaking to one another, Muslim or non-Muslim, we should not make a mockery out of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we should not make a mockery out of animals and the way they behave, because this is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, and this is very difficult, but we should not complain about things of nature like the weather. People from England, we're always complaining about the weather. I complain about the weather too. It's always raining all the time. It's cold, it's dark. Oh, weather's so nasty. The reality is that this weather, and I am guilty of this as well, the weather is from Allah. So the reality is that we should not mock the weather either. We should not mock it, because the weather is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are mocking the creation of Allah. We are mocking the decision of Allah. Allah has decided to make the weather rainy and cold today. Are we mocking the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here? Slightly gone off context, but these lessons are all relevant to us. And we pray that we can all understand and we can all make amal upon these lessons that come to mind. Once I remember when I was studying in Darul Uloom, one of my ustads, he was, you know, upset at some students who were talking in class. And he explained to us that when I sit and I speak about the teachings of the Quran and Hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens a well upon my head, and a well of knowledge, and the knowledge keeps falling, and I am able to, you know, convey these things to you that come to my mind, things that are not in my notes. And so I didn't understand that at the time, but today I am experiencing that as well. So many lessons coming to mind that are not in my notes, and I'm going off, but they are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are sat in the masjid, we are discussing the teachings of the Quran. Who else would be giving me these thoughts? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to act upon these lessons. So moving on, this alif lam at the beginning of alhamd changes the meaning of hamd being a general word to hamd meaning total. Every single praise that ever occurred from the beginning of time till the end belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is the apparent meaning of the verse. One scholar, Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, he mentions that the meaning of hamd here is shukr, thankfulness. When you analyze shukr and you look into the reasons why a person would thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the meanings of shukr and praise seem to meet up. And just to quickly explain that, a person thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala generally for a favor that Allah has done upon this person. And so, yeah, say, Ya Allah, you know, you have granted me so much wealth. I thank you for this. So when you are describing the action of Allah upon us, the favor of Allah upon us, you are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So both the meanings do meet up. Ibn al-Jarir al-Tabari rahimahullah says that over here it means all thankfulness is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moving on, the second secret meaning of Alhamdulillah here is that when all the praise in the heavens and the earth from the beginning of time till the end of time belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it also means that because all praise belongs to Him, He is the only one that is also worthy of worship, because He is the doer of all the great things in existence. So only He is the one who is worthy of worship. There is nobody else that is worthy of worship, because nobody else owns the praise. Praise belongs to Allah and Allah only, and so worship also belongs to Allah and Allah only. And so here we have a secret, and the secret is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us Tawheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Umma Banda, I am one. I alone am worthy of praise, and I alone am worthy of worship. So here the ulama have so beautifully taken out the secret meaning. And like that, Surah Al-Fatiha also includes the commandment and teaching of Tawheed. Next, we have, before moving on to Rabbil Alameen, we have a third meaning that we can find in a hadith. When my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, أفضل الذكر لا إله إلا الله وأفضل الدعاء الحمد لله. That the best dhikr is La ilaha illallah, and the best dua is Alhamdulillah. So the third meaning is that here in Alhamdulillah there is a dua as well. And dua is from the slave to the master, according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Moving on to Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of the worlds. We'll split Rabbil Alameen into two. Rabb comes from the word in Arabic, Rabba yurabbi tarbiyatan. And we will be more accustomed to the word tarbiyah, possibly. But Rabba yurabbi tarbiyatan means to nurture. To nurture something to its height of its perfection. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, the first quality of His mentioned in Surah Al-Fatiha is of tarbiyah. And the fact of the matter is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that has nurtured everything in existence to its perfection. Some of this nurturing has been given to us, where we, as parents, we nurture our children. As teachers, we nurture our students. And likewise, however, this is not true nurturing. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one who gave us the ability to be the nurturers. Allah was the one who nurtured Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and nurtured every single human. And so the true meaning of Rabb can only belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nobody else. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one that nurtured all beings, all species, and all humans as well. The ulama have given an example of our nurturing. When we nurture those who are our subordinates, the ulama say that our nurturing is like the nurturing, the light of the moon. See, the light of the moon is not its own light, it belongs to the sun. But it looks like it's the moon's light. And so when parents or teachers, we are nurturing our subordinates or our children, it looks like we are nurturing them. But reality is behind us, we have the nurturing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gave us the ability in the first place to carry out this nurturing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be good nurturers as well. Ameen. Next, we have a slightly interesting topic of alameen. Alameen is the plural of alam, and alam means world. Now, there are two opinions with regards to alameen. The first opinion is that, so the question arises that why is it plural? There is only one world. Why is it plural? So some scholars have given the first opinion, and they said that each alam, each world is referring to each species. So one alam is humans, one alam is animals, one alam is planets, one alam is plants, one alam is the mountains. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the nurturer of all of these things. But the second one basically means aliens. Says that many scholars have agreed that we are not, the humans are not the only species in the world. That outside of the earth and outside of the solar system, you know, now science has taught us so many things. The size of the universe, you know, look at the size of the universe. We are absolutely tiny. The earth is so small, so small. And so many scholars say that out there are so many different species that live in different worlds and different planets. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nurtures all of them and provides for all of them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns all of the praise. He is the Lord. He is the nurturer of all of the worlds and all of the species. For example, Imam Razi, who lived around 800 years ago, he has alluded to this in his tafsir. Hazrat Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala says that there are 40,000 worlds. Others have said more. For example, there was a Mufassir al-Muqatil, Hazrat Muqatil rahimullah, he has mentioned that it's 80,000 worlds. And these scholars and these tabi'een, they are mentioning these things long before we had telescopes and we had, you know, spaceships going out and this camera and that camera. And long before science taught us about the world out there. This was more than 800 years ago, roughly about 814 years ago, Imam Razi lived. And at that time, he mentioned this. Such an amazing thing. You know, the scholars and the knowledge that exists in Islamic epistemology, it's amazing. It really, really predates all of the new science knowledge that we have in today's day and age. Next, moving on, we have Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So in the last session, last week, we mentioned the meanings of Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Just to go over it very quickly, both of these sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have the meaning of mercy in them. Rahman has the meaning of Amur Rahma, and Rahim has the meaning of Tamur Rahma. Amur Rahma means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy includes and encompasses every single being from the beginning of time till the end of time. Tamur Rahma means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is complete. And so we mentioned that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be named Rahman, because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy can reach every single being from the beginning of time till the end of time. But ghayrullah, beings other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can take the name Rahim. For example, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes my Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. He says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. So my Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is described as Rahim. So this Rahim is not specific. It's a name that's not specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Others, ghayrullah, can also be named Rahim. Next, we have a very important lesson in the next verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Maliki yawm al-deen. Maliki yawm al-deen, the master of the day of resurrection. The master, the owner. Malik comes from the word milk, which means ownership. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns us. He created us. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifies that He is the master of the day of Qiyamah. Or you could also, day of resurrection, judgment day, the last day, the day of requital, many, many different meanings. So here we find two things. First of all, Yawm al-Deen. What is Yawm al-Deen? And the second thing is, two questions that arise. The second question is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just the owner of all things on the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always been the owner of all things. And He is the owner of all things and always will be the owner of all things. And when the day of Qiyamah finishes, He will still be the owner of all things. So why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified the day of Qiyamah? So, to answer the first question, the day of Qiyamah is when all good will be rewarded and bad will be punished. When humanity comes to its end and the world will be destroyed and then resurrected, we will all be brought to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the questioning of the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us hisaba yaseera. It is a very, very fearful day. We should read about this day. It will create the taqwa within us. It's a very, very, very scary day. The day of Qiyamah, the day of darkness. It says the sun will be on top of our heads. That's how much heat there will be. May Allah protect us on this day. The ulama write that in this verse, there is a very, very powerful lesson and a reminder to humanity. And the reminder is that the life that we are living today is very temporary. And a time will come when we will be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer what we have done today. So there's two things here. First of all, we should not expect to be rewarded in this world. The reward of this world means nothing, and nothing at all. That's why when a person is blessed with riches of the world, this means nothing in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not mean that if a person has been blessed with wealth, that he is a pious person, he is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person has been afflicted with poverty, then he is hated in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. My Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam chose poverty over richness. And we find many, many pious people of the past, the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi ajma'in, many of them lived lives of poverty and they enjoyed lives of poverty. My Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was given a choice by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if you want to live like a Nabi who is a king, like Sulaiman alayhi salam, you can do so. And if you want to be a poor prophet who lives in poverty, you can do so. My Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that I would like to eat one day and thank you and be hungry the next day and do sabr and remember you. So the world and the richness of the world means nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to whoever He wants. And He doesn't give to whoever He wants. He is our owner. This is His choice. Our lesson is that if we are gifted with blessings, we should do shukr. Allah will give us more. And if we are afflicted with difficulties, we should do sabr and shukr. That, ya Allah, this, even when we are, if we are going through poverty, there's still so much to do shukr about. There's always somebody who is in a worse situation than us. And so, like earlier, in the last sermon of our Imam Mufti Salih Sahib, he mentioned that when we have, in terms of the dunya, in terms of the world, we should look at people who have less than us. And we will feel better. We will find an opportunity to do shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in terms of deen, we should look at people who have more than us. And we should strive to become like that. For example, if a person is a millionaire, if he starts looking at the billionaires, he'll feel poor. And he'll say, I've got so less. But if he starts looking at people who are poorer than him, it was actually yesterday in the talim that Mufti Salih Sahib mentioned, not in the last week's sermon, that he gave the story of Imam Sadi. The Sheikh Sadi alayhi rahmah, he said that once he was walking down the street, he had no shoes and it was very, very hot and his feet were burning on the ground. So he said, you know, he was running and he was in a moment of distress and he found, you know, he went to the masjid where they have the place to do wudu and he started to wash his feet with the water, cooling his feet down. And he said, Ya Allah, you know, look at me, look at Sadi today. He has no shoes, he's struggling. And he said, just as he was saying that, I said, a man came out, a man entered the masjid and he was on, you know, like crutches, like wooden sticks. He had no foot. And immediately, Sheikh Sadi alayhi rahmah asked forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Ya Allah, you've given me feet. So in terms of the dunya, we should look at, always look at people who have less than us. We will constantly do shukr. Constantly we will be happy. If you have a car, if you look at, you know, if you have a Ford, then you look at someone with a BMW, you'll feel, oh man, I wish I had a BMW. If you look at someone on a bike, you say, Alhamdulillah, Allah's given me a car. So we will constantly be happy with our situation. It will create peace in our life as well. And in terms of deen, we should look at people who are better than us. We will strive to be like them. For example, if we pray two sunnah after Maghrib and we find someone praying awabin, within our hearts we'll think, you know, I'm doing so less. But if we are praying two sunnah after Maghrib and somebody is walking straight out, we'll say, you know, I've become a big, big pious person now. I'm praying so much namaz. We will never increase and we will never progress. A quotation from Hazrat Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala comes to mind. Imam Bukhari rahimullah has mentioned in his Sahih. He says, "Irtahalatid dunya mudbiratan, wartahalatil akhiratu muqbilatan." He says that the dunya, the world, is traveling away from us. "Wartahalatil akhiratu muqbilatan." The akhirah, the hereafter, is coming to us. "Walikulli wahidatin minhuma banun." He says that both of these have children. "Fakunu min abna'il akhirah." Be from the children of the hereafter. "Wala takunu min abna'id dunya." Do not be from the children of the dunya. "Fa'inna al-yawma amalun wala hisab." Today is the day of amal. Today is the day of action. And not reward. "Wa ghadan hisabun wala amal." Tomorrow is the day for reward, for hisab kitab, for requital. And tomorrow you will not have the opportunity to do even a single subhanallah or a single rak'ah of salah. So today is the opportunity. Today is the dunya. Today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Work, work, and work. Your reward will be tomorrow in the Akhirah. Do not look to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for reward in the world. Many times it happens as well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards somebody in the world. But the reward of the hereafter is much, much better than the reward of the world. And sometimes it can happen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes somebody in the world, but the punishment of Jahannam is many times worse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُم مِّنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. In another place Allah says, كَذَلِكَ الْعَذَابِ وَلَعَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ. He says that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them taste عَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى, the lesser عَذَابِ, دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ. After that, there will be عَذَابِ أَكْبَرِ, the big عَذَاب in the Akhirah. You look at stories like Abu Lahab. Inshallah, in a few weeks' time, we'll mention the tafsir of Tabbat Yada Abi Lahab wa Tab, and we'll mention the punishment he received in the world. But just to very quickly mention, he died a very terrible death. But this was a punishment in the world, but his punishment in the Akhirah would be much worse. You look at the story of Fir'aun. He will be in the worst places in Jahannam, but look how he died. He was drowning. This is also a punishment in the world, but the punishment of the Akhirah is worse. So sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does give some reward and some punishment in the world, but when compared to what can happen in the Akhirah is nothing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from his punishment, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, have mercy on us, and enter us into Jannatul Firdaus without hisab and without kitab. Ameen. Moving on to the number two. Just one more point before we move on to number two. Why is it so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the day of judgment? Another point that just come to mind. Look around us today, and we find so much injustice taking place in the world. So much injustice, it brings tears to the eyes, and it makes the heart weep. Look in Palestine today, in Gaza, and in China, so many places in the world, people, Muslim, non-Muslim, they are being abused. Children are being murdered. Where is the justice in the world? There's no justice in the world. That child being murdered, what crime did he commit? Wallahi, what crime did he commit? What crime did she commit that she is being murdered today? Do you not think a time should come for them that justice is served? Do you not think they deserve justice as well? They are being murdered left, right and center. And not just today, but you look at history. So many genocides have taken place. Those people, the innocent people, the houses have been destroyed. The parents are killed in front of them. Do they not deserve justice? So many times it happens where we all face minor injustice in some form or other. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with such comfortable lives. But it happens that you are robbed. Something happens and the matter doesn't get resolved. Even when it does get resolved, it's not as it should be. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will serve justice. The people who have been abused in the world, the people upon whom zulm has taken place, the zalimeen will be punished on that day. Remember and take comfort in this fact that a time will come on the day of Qiyamah when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish the oppressors. Their time will come. Today they are getting away with oppression. They are laughing and joking about the murder of children. A time will come, wallahi, a time will come when they will be stood in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they will be humiliated and they will be punished if hidayah and guidance is not been written. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all guidance. And if guidance is not written for them, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease the situation of the people and the Muslims today. Ameen. Back to the second question that arose from the verse Maliki Yawmiddin, that why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specify the day of Qiyamah as His ownership, whereas Allah's ownership has always been and always will be? The reason for this is that it seems like in the world Allah has given us a portion of His ownership. So Allah has given us some degree of ownership. For example, we own our clothes, we own our houses, we own our cars. And what does ownership mean? Ownership means that you have such power over someone or something that you can do whatever you want. For example, you have a nice jacket. You can sell it if you want to. You can gift it to somebody if you want to. You can rip it if you want to. No one has the right to stop you because it belongs to you. They can suggest to you that, brother, why are you ripping your jacket? It's such a nice jacket. But you'll say, it's my jacket. I can do what I want with it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us some degree of ownership in the world. Although it's not true ownership, because true ownership belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. However, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will take back all forms of minor ownership. On the day of Qiyamah, it says in the Quran that we will not even be able to move one foot, our hands. You know, it says that Al-Yawma Nakhtimu ala afwahihim. Our tongues will be sealed. Wa tukallimuna aydihim wa tashhadu arjuluhum bima kanu yaksibun. Our hands and our feet will testify to the actions that were done by us. We will not have any control of our bodies. Our bodies will act according to the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our bodies, inshallah, they will tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, this person, he used me to go to the masjid. He used me to pray salah. He used me to recite the Quran. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes our bodies forget all of the sins that were committed by us. May Allah forgive all our sins. So this ownership, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relinquish on the day of Qiyamah. And nobody will have ownership over anything, major or minor. And all ownership will belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outlines this in the 24th juz of the Quran in Surah Mu'min. Allah says, يَوْمَهُمْ بَارِزُونَ. The day they will be viewed openly, the people. لَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْهُمْ شَيْءٍ. لَا يَخْفَى عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْهُمْ شَيْءٍ. Nothing will be hidden from Allah on that day. لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. Who on that day, whose will be ownership? لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. For Allah only, the one, the all dominant. This is the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the ownership on the day of Qiyamah in the Quran in a very amazing way. Moving on, we have إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. In the Quran it says that, Ya Allah, only You do we worship. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And only from You do we seek help. So I mentioned in the last session that Surah Al-Fatiha has 7 verses. The first 3 are praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last 3 is a prayer, a dua. And the middle verse is a mixture of both. So this middle verse, the 4th verse of Surah Al-Fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making dua from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. We are saying, Ya Allah, we only worship You because You are the only one that is worthy of worship. This is hamd, this is praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the second part, we are saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are making a dua, we are making a prayer, Ya Allah, we seek help from You and from You only. Now, to go into this, there are 3 tenses, past, present and future. In Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, He is reminding us that we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have been in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever since the beginning of existence and the beginning of time. Malik Yawmiddin, Allah is indicating to us that on the day, till the day of Qiyamah, you will need me. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that in the past until now, you have been in need of my help. From now till the end, keep seeking my help. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ya Allah, we seek your help. And so Allah is indicating to us that in the future you're going to need my help as well. So continue to ask me for help, and my help will continue to come to you. Here, Iyaka nasta'in is general. There's nothing specific mentioned in this. So what does he mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us that ask for help in what? Ask for help in everything. Everything. Ask for help. He says the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, even if it came to something as minor as a shoelace, they would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever it comes to anything, we have a habit that, you know, we need help with something, we'll ask our friend, we'll ask, you know, somebody we have contacts, or problem in the house. Our first instance should be to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Personally, many times I have seen it in my life that something major has happened, and a person, in today's day and age, a person goes on the musalla. I remember there was an incident where a child was choking. Everyone's screaming and shouting and panicking. And the father of the house, he takes the musalla out. I saw it with my own eyes, he goes on the musalla. Here the child is dying, and we were like, ambulance, ambulance, let's go hospital. And on the musalla. So we have to, you know, put this into action and make it a habit that whenever we face difficulty in our lives, we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek his help. I think we'll stop there now. Got through half of Surah Al-Fatiha. I was hoping to finish off, but different thoughts come to mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends us on different tangents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to continue taking from the treasures of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand the teachings of the Quran, to become lovers of the Quran, to become men of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true love for the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to act upon all the lessons that we have learned today. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability and the tawfiq to continue returning and to continue on learning the tafsir of the Holy Quran. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathiran.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة
سب سیدھی فرمائیں اللہ اکبر الحمد للہ رب العالمین الرحمن الرحیم مالک یوم الدین إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات كانت لهم جنات الفردوس نزلا خالدين فيها لا يبغون عنها حولا قل لو كان البحر مدادا لكلمات ربي لنفد البحر قبل أن تنفد لنفد البحر قبل أن تنفد كلمات ربي ولو جئنا بمثله مددا الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر الله استغفر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل برحمتك يا رحمة